Good evening, everyone, and all of you, wherever you may be, joining us on this Friday night. It's actually the Sabbath here, just started on the Eastern time zone. It may be mid-morning or wherever you are. Welcome to the first post-feast session of GoToMeeting here, moving into the fall season after the fall holy days. There are many that join us weekly from around the world, and this is truly an international event. It's a great way, again, to keep the Sabbath, or usher in the Sabbath, or listen at the end of the Sabbath, whichever it may be for you, and have an opportunity to join with family. We have a message given every week by an elder in PBCG, followed by a period of comments and questions or discussion. So tonight, we will be hearing from one of our elders in Cincinnati, Marlon Fannin. And Marlon's title, It Is a Way of Life. I'd like to introduce Marlon Fannin.
Okay, thanks, Steve, and happy Sabbath, and greetings to all of our brothers and sisters around the world, and hopefully you're having good weather like we've been having here, but it's beginning to change a little bit. As Albert said a little bit ago, he lives up in Michigan, so I'm happy to be able to be here this evening. And as Steve mentioned, the title of the sermon is A Way of Life. And also, as was mentioned in the opening prayer, it's walking with God. As Eduardo did a message some time back on walking with God, and it kind of intermingles. So hopefully I don't take up some of the scriptures he went over. I'll listen to his message and hope it won't be going over a lot of the different scriptures that maybe he didn't bring out. But my son Jerry, which is Tom's younger brother, and we were discussing this, you know, maybe a year or more ago, and we were talking about God's way, and he said, well, Dad, it's just a way of life. It's how you live, and that is to obey God, love him, keep his commandments. So I'd like to start out, if you would, in the third epistle of John. And I'll be reading verses 1 through verse 4. It says, the elder to Gaius, the beloved whom I love in truth. So he's saying he loves him in truth because he's evidently walking in truth, striving to keep the truth, walking in God's way. And so John is saying that he loved him, and he loved that he's walking in truth. He said, beloved, I personally am praying for you, that in all respects you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul is prospering. So God's will is for us to have health, but also we know that spiritual health is the main thing. We can be have all kinds of various diseases, which are throughout the churches of God, and also that those in the world are suffering the same kind of things. But God wants us to be healthy as that we can enjoy life, but unfortunately we know that age catches up with us in old age, and that's when a lot of the sicknesses and things hit, and a lot, most of the people in the church have gotten to that point, like myself. So in verse 3, for I rejoice exceedingly at the coming of the brethren who testified of you in the truth and how you are walking in truth. I do not have any greater joy than these testimonies that I'm hearing, that my children are walking in truth. And how good it is to hear that people are wanting to love God, to walk in the truth, and to love him, and love one another. That is Christianity. And so, if true Christianity in Christ, if we're doing those things, as we'll be bringing out in the scriptures as we go through them this evening. I'd like to go now to the book of John. The book of John in chapter 17. Book of John, chapter 17 and verse 15. Says, I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. So we know we do live in this evil world, which becomes more evil each and every day as they turn from God and to their own human nature and just becoming servants of Satan and serving him in various means and ways, just like it has been all along, all the idols and things that man have worshipped throughout the ages and denied God and turned from him. He said, they are not of the world, just I am not of the world. So if we're striving to obey God and walk in his truth and his way, then we know that we are not really, we are, even though we're in this world, that our minds and our hearts are with God in his way, just as we heard at the Feast of Tabernacles, which pictures the great coming kingdom of God, the Father, Jesus Christ, his Son, coming with all the saints. And we heard many scriptures on that. It says, sanctify them or set them apart in your truth, because your word is truth. And that's a scripture that probably most of us aren't familiar with, maybe have memorized. It says, your word is truth. So if we want truth, we look to God, we look to his word. And that's where truth's at. Continuing on then in John the 14th chapter, John 14, going back a few pages. John 14 and verse 6. Says, Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we see here that Christ is saying, I am the way. So if we're walking in Christ, we're walking in the ways of God as we strive to obey him, keep his commandments, and love him. He said, I am the way and the truth. And there is no lie in God the Father or Jesus Christ. But they cannot lie. As it tells us in, I think it's Titus, the first chapter, about verse 2 or 3, and other places as well. So if we are striving in this way that God has called us to, we'll be walking in truth. And we'll be hating lies. And we'll want to change this nature that we were born with, but to overcome it through the great spirit that God gave us upon our repentance and baptism and laying on of hands. Continuing on then, in Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah, the 30th chapter. Isaiah 30. And we'll look at verse 21. Isaiah 30 and 21. It says, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk you in it when you turn to the right hand or when you turn to the left. And this is a scripture that I'm sure you heard during the Feast of Tabernacles, telling about how we're going to help God's people in that kingdom. And when they start to err, we're going to know their thoughts, just like God knows our thoughts, like he knows every sparrow that falls to the ground. God knows our thoughts. Excuse me, you can't hide from God or hide thoughts from God, because he knows. He knows us and he knows how we are. It says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. And that's the way of God, the way of that Israel would not accept, ancient Israel. And even modern Israel today, those that God called out, do they all serve God with a right heart, a right mind, a right attitude? Well, we know some do, and hopefully the majority. But there are some who evidently, you know, by fruits, show that they are not. So Christ said, this is the way when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. And that applies to us today, as it will apply to those in the millennium and also the 100-year period, the time that God has set aside in his plan for redemption for all of mankind, for those who choose and want to obey that calling, to obey the call that God gives us. So we have to accept it or not accept it. And so my son Tom was called at an early age. I think I was blessed to baptize both my sons. Tom, I think, was about 20, and Jerry was about in his mid-30s, I think. But sometimes you wonder how much they're taking in when they're children. Remember how we used to make pallets on the floor, and they would be playing or go to sleep there, but after they got up a little older, you know, how much did they retain? How much did they hear? And so that's, don't know, but that's how we learn as children. You know, we think, we hear what people say. So how much of it are the kids that maybe later on that God will open their eyes and they will again be called, when they're called. So again, it's a way of life. We are to walk in it. Let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse 105. David's saying, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So it's like a light that we're shining, a flashlight, or when it's dark, to show where our, so we can walk, that we don't stumble. So David said, it's like a lamp to my feet as we walk in God's way. Then we know that Christ and his word is the light, as God the Father also shows us and involved. So let God's word be a lamp to our feet to guide us and direct us in all things, no matter what kind of problem or situation we're in, to allow God to direct our lives. Let's continue on then in Proverbs. Next book over, Proverbs and 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end therefore is the way of death." So we have this conflict. We want to follow human nature, and we followed our human nature before God called us. And we may have had some restraints on it, but we didn't follow it as we should have. And so God says there is a way that is right to a man, and thankfully he has called us to walk in a way that is right, a way that is good, a way that's just, a way that leads to eternal life and does not lead to death. Eternal death, which God says, if you won't obey me, if you can't learn to love me, and love is the great thing there, to love God, to obey God because we love him. Now, when I first started out, it was a fear of God, and certainly we should fear God because he is our Father, but we should want to learn to love him. We do it because we love God, not because the law says you do this, or what's expected of you on the spiritual plane as well. But we want to serve God and walk in his way because we have learned to love him, trust in him, and believe in him. So thankfully God has called us to choose that, to walk in the right way, in the right path, and that this way of life. Continuing on then in Proverbs 21. Same book. Let's go over to 21 and verse 2. It said, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. So God looks at our overall attitude. Now we may have physical types of obedience, just like the scribes and the Pharisees. But God wants a right heart and a right mind, again, one that loves him and wants to walk in his ways and to teach them also and set an example. The best light we can be is being obedient to God and loving him, and others see that. Even though they may not agree with the things that we believe in, the Sabbath, the holy days, which is foreign to them in many cases, but still they would respect us as we strive to be a light for God and walk in His ways. So we want to walk, continue on, and let's go continue on to Proverbs, the second chapter. Going back, it's in front. There, Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, and we'll start out in verse 11. It says, discretion shall preserve you, and understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man who speaks wicked things, those who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the way of darkness. In Ezekiel 33 and Ezekiel 18 is very clear on that. It says, if a righteous man departs from a way of striving to live righteously, that is, to keep God's law and commandments and love Him with all of our heart and mind. But it says, if he departs from that, then whatever righteous things he did, it's gone. But it says, if the wicked man turns from his evil way and repents and starts in the way and walk in the path of righteousness, God says he's forgiven as long as he walks in it. So we have to continually walk in God's way and his truth. It's not something we get to a point where we think, well, as one man used to say, I've got all the salvation I need, referring to someone I guess had told him that. No. Every day is a day of salvation. As I said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So it's something that we keep on doing, and we have to do till God allows us to go to sleep, or we change the moment in the twinkling of an eye. So those who leave the paths of righteous uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perversities of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and are devious in their path. So God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, as he talks about. So we want to continually to walk in that light. As David said, let that light be a path that shows us the way, we like a light showing us where to walk, that we don't stumble and we don't fall. Always let God's word and his truth and his Holy Spirit guide us and lead us in that, that we don't fall. And thankfully God will always provide that light if we are searching for it. Every day we're reading his scriptures, we're praying, we're studying, building that relationship with God the Father, as Eduardo brought out about Abraham, who walked with God, and Enoch and some of the others. The same thing with us, that we, as we walk, as we grow in grace and knowledge and love for God, that we would walk just like Abraham walked, and Enoch and some others, Isaac and Jacob. That God, hopefully God would call us friends as he did Abraham. He had such a close relationship in Abraham that he was called a friend of God. God delighted in talking to him and being with him. And I wonder every day, as I said, we know what to do as far as the nuts and bolts through prayer and study and loving God and fasting as we need to, that we are building that relationship. And maybe God says, and you can put your name there. I can put my name there. Has so-and-so checked in today? Have they came before me and said a prayer? Because I know he has angels that report. We have angels about us, thankfully, that we do. That they can report that we are growing in grace and knowledge. We are practicing that as a way of life. It's like every day you get up and you do the things that need to be done. That God's way becomes like that. It's just something we do automatically. And it takes years. to develop that. And some are quicker than others. As it talks about, some went out to work early at about 6 in the morning, and others went out about 5 o'clock, but they all received the same wages, which is eternal life. So some of us have maybe more to overcome and more time to do that. Others that they live maybe a more godly life, and they don't need to overcome the things that maybe some of us problems and things that we have. So we have to continually, as it says, to walk the path of righteousness and not go back to the ways of darkness, but come out of them things. Let's go to Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah 42, and start out in verse 2, I guess. So, well, let's go to verse 1. Then all the commanders of the forces, and Jonathan the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah the son of Hoshishiah, and all the people from the least even to the greatest came near. And they said to Jeremiah the prophet, "We beseech you, let our supplication be pleasing to you, and pray for us to the Lord your God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few out of many, as your eyes behold us, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we may walk and the things that we may do." And they were learning through having been rejected, tossed out of their own country, into captivity, being dispersed, that they're wanting now God involvement in their life. When everything was going their way, when they were doing what was always good in their own sight, but not in God's, that the day came where then God's punishment came upon them. And now they're wanting to turn to God, and they're going to Jeremiah to say, "Show us and teach us the way that we may walk and the things that we may do in order to be able to get back on good sound footing with God," just as it says in Jeremiah 33 about repentance of the man, the sinner, who wants to turn his life around. In Isaiah 2 and verse 3, Isaiah 2, let's go there. Isaiah 2 and verse 3. We heard that these scriptures, I'm sure they were read during the feast. "And many people shall go and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So a time when people will say, let's go up there, let's learn of God. Let's be taught of God. Let's listen to God and be willing to do the things that we're told. But we're in that situation right now where that we can go to God and he will teach us through his ways and through his word and his Holy Spirit the things that he wants us to change in our lives and to overcome. Let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah, the 3rd chapter, in verse 6. "And the angel of the Lord charged Joshua, saying," this is talking about Joshua, who are going back to verse 1, the high priest, and Satan standing there at the right hand to resist him, and it says, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan," and it talks about Joshua having on filthy clothing, and that he need to be cleaned up, get his life straight. And it says his naughty brand plucked out of the fire. And Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Going on then to verse 6, it says, "And the angel of the Lord charged Joshua, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my charge, then you shall also judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, and I will give you places to walk among those who stand by. So God says that if you will walk in my ways, this way of life, and keep my charge, then God would be with him and stand with him. Continuing on, let's go to Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20, and let's look at verse 18 through 20. Says, I said to the children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor observe their judgments, nor defile yourself with their idols. Because it's been the history of idols always to want to be, they have the true God. They have the true God, but they always want to say, well, how do you serve your gods? We want to do the same thing. Never happy with the true God who created heaven and earth and all things and mankind, made in his image and likeness. No, they want to go serve Satan, do idols, and reject the God, the creator of all life. And says, but I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor observe their judgment, nor defile yourself with their idols. I am. And how many times do we see that in the Old Testament? Some of the new, I am. The great I am. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And keep my Sabbaths holy, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. So we see God specifically said, walk in my statutes, keep my ordinances and do them, keep my Sabbaths, the Sabbath day and the annual holy days, and they shall be a sign. If you're keeping them, it's a sign between me and you that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Not to worship idols and just thumb our nose at the great God, the creator who formed us and shaped us and gives us every breath of life, every day that we awake, he gives to us. So we are to serve God and keep his commandments and his laws. It's a way of life. It should become a way of life. We automatically do it, not being forced to. And God gives us free moral agency where we can choose, just like Ezekiel 33, if the righteous man turns from his way, God allows that. Unless he repents, then we know what path he's going down and where it leads. But the one who repents, wants to change his life and keep God's laws and statutes and judgments and commandments and Sabbath, then they're on the path to eternal life. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians comes before Colossians. I always want to think it comes after, but it comes before. So in Philippians, the second chapter, and let's go to verse 12. So then, my beloved, even as you are always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure, and do all things without complaints and disputes, so that you may be blameless and without offense, innocent children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among you should shine as lights, whom you shine as lights in the world. And certainly what a crooked, perverse generation that we live in. All the evils that's going on and people, like it was back in the time of the judges, everybody did what was right in their own sight, not appreciating this great country that God has given us and all the blessings. And they want to go to some kind of government and serve a God that is that they're going to be nothing but miserable, but you can't tell them that because their minds are deceived and they're perverted. So thankfully that God has called us to come out of the crooked and perverse generation whom we should shine as lights, it says, in the world. It said, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, nor labored in vain. So we're not running a race like Paul, that we might finish that race. It's not something we're doing in vain. We know what is at the end, as they say, a pot of gold at the end. We know that what we see at the end is eternal life. No more sickness, diseases, and all these things that we suffer with in the flesh. Continuing on now, let's go to Colossians. Colossians, the first chapter, and verse 9. For this cause we also, from the day that we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that's what we should be praying for each and every one of us. Pray for one another, it says, that we might be able to walk worthy of the calling that God has called us to, and to all pleasing, being fruitful. We know trees produce fruit. If they don't produce fruit, then they're dying or dead. Being fruitful, producing fruits of the Spirit, every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, and being strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, and to all endurance, keep on going, and long suffering, whatever trials and tests that come up, with joy, do it with joy. Continuing on then, in whom we have redemption through his own blood, that is Jesus Christ, even the remission of sins. Through Jesus Christ, forgiveness of all of our sins. Every time we repent, God truly want to walk in his way and not stumble because of evil, because of sin, but continue to walk, let that light, that path have a light that leads us in the right way, and that's God's truth. Because by him were all things created, the things in heaven, the things on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether they be thrones or lordships or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. All things came by and through Jesus Christ. Verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded, as it says, and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was proclaimed in all the creation that is under heaven, for which I, Paul, became a servant. So it was preached to the known world in their day, the apostles, and we know now that God's word is becoming available in all the different languages around the world, to almost every language. And we know in the very end that God's going to have the two witnesses that's going to be proclaiming. Also, he's going to have the three angels there that talks about Revelation who are going to be preaching the people. They're going to see all of these miraculous things, yet some of them still won't turn to God. They'll shake their fist at him and curse. But God's going to make it known to them, giving them everyone a chance. And for instance, look, these things are going to come up on you, repent. But we know, as it says, that many of them will not. Let's go to Colossians, the second chapter now, verse 4. Colossians 2 and verse 4. It says, now this I say, that no one may deceive you by persuasive words. And boy, aren't there a lot out there that's got a silver tongue, as they said, flowery words, and people are just so impressed. And just take it, as it says, Satan is able to deceive and to be able to control people's minds, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to control people He doesn't want them to love God and keep his commandments. He wants to see death, eternal death for all mankind. But God says he's created us not in vain, not to just die, but to give us eternal life and his family and kingdom. He loves us and he wants us to be a part of his life. And we are to walk in his way. It become a way of life. We just do it. Continuing on then in verse 6, it says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, be walking in him, being rooted and built up in him and being confirmed in the faith exactly as you were taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So taught by the very word of God, taught by the Holy Spirit, that we would continue to walk in that. Let's go now to, we are to walk with him and be rooted in him. And I have roots, like trees or plants and things, they go, a lot of them go way down in the ground. So we need to have our roots in God's way firmly, planted deep into his way of life and to his word and to obedience to him. Go to the first John. Start out in John. First, let's go back to First John 1. So John 1 and verse 5. And this is the message that we have heard from him and are declaring to you, declaring what they had been taught by Jesus Christ personally, that God is light and there's no darkness at all in him. No sin at all. God is, well, there is no sin in God. He cannot sin. He cannot lie. Because he's determined that, because it's his character. It's his way of life. He in Christ. And he wants that to be our way of life as well. So continuing on then, if we proclaim that we have fellowship with him, but we are walking in the darkness, we are lying to ourselves, and we are not practicing the truth. We're basically just living a lie. We're not doing what God commands us to do. However, if we walk in the light, that's God's word and his truth, and his Holy Spirit leading us, being subservient to what it inspires us to change and grow. As he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. We're walking with God in light and truth, letting that path be lit up to his way. It says, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his own son, cleanses us from all sin. And how great that is when we renew each year. Each year we keep the Passover and we remember what was done for us through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and what is being done this very second as he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us and knows every one of us. Isn't that should be something that's really great that God knows every one of us and concerned about our welfare and being as we walk. Want to walk in truth, walk in his ways. In Psalms 86, let's go to Psalms 86. Psalms 86 and verse 11. Says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. My heart rejoices to fear your name, your voice rather, your name, yes. So it says, teach me. And God is teaching us through his word and through his Holy Spirit. And by those that are really looking to God and teaching his people, being true shepherds, taking care of the flock, the older ones, the young ones, and those that are mature and vibrant and full of life, the sheep, God says if you're taking care of them, you're teaching them my word and my truth, then certainly God looks down upon them, and as long as they're doing that, then how great that is to be able to teach. That's what we'll be doing in the millennium. We'll be teaching the people that God is calling out. It's left over. Those will be born. So what a great thing and how important it is to teach right things, to teach God's way and teach it rightly, not for any kind of gain or power or money or whatever, but to do it because they want to please God. As David was a true shepherd over the flock and took care of it, then we need to learn that as far as shepherding physical lambs and sheep, that to be able to realize God's people. They are the flock of his pasture. We're just overseers in that pasture. So hopefully I know a lot do understand that, but there's a lot that still don't understand that. They still want to please. They want power. They want glory. They want to be looked up to. They want to be worshipped. And that's what Satan wanted. He wanted to be worshipped. And unfortunately, there are those who are that mind frame, and they're not true shepherds. That's why we need to have our nose in God's word. Why we must always keep his Holy Spirit active, that we can see false shepherds for what they are. Continuing on then, verse 12. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. David said, I will praise you with all my heart, my whole being wants to praise you and thank you and have a right spirit and contrite heart, as God says we're having developed now. But God said he will give someday a right heart, take away the stony heart. And he's doing that for us now, taking away that stony heart and giving a heart that's pliable and moldable, that we can serve him and walk in his way and love him. For great is your mercy toward me. And we can all say that, God, how great is your mercy toward me. How merciful you've been to me and forgiving me and cleaning me up like a filthy rag I was. And then you wash me and making me clean and helping me each day to be cleaner, continually washing, continually taking care of us. What a great thing that is, the love that God has for us. Psalms 1, let's go to Psalm 1. The first chapter. Chapter 1, I'll read through 1 through 6. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, delighting in God's way, his law. And in his law does he meditate day and night. We think about it, we pray. All day long, it's not a matter of you're down praying on your knees all day long, but as you go about your work or whatever you're doing, you know what, you thank God for various things. So it's a continual thing, but we mentally thank God and praise him all day long when it comes into our minds, and we thank God and ask his blessing or ask his protection. The main thing is, should be more thanking than anything else to our God and our Creator for all that he has done and is doing. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the stream of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf shall not wither, and all that he does shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They don't mix. Sin and evil don't mix. It's got to be eliminated. It will be when Satan is locked and bound and chained for 1,000 years, and then after his punishment that God will pronounce upon him. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. So as there is a way to walk, the plea is pleasing in God, but there is a way to walk. It's not pleasing to God. It's a way of darkness of Satan the devil, not of God. Let's go to Ephesians now, Ephesians 1. Excuse me, all these allergies and things bother me, and a lot of people have that problem, especially in spring and in the fall of the year. So Ephesians 1 and verse 17. Ephesians 1, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So God wants us to have wisdom and knowledge and revelation of His way and what we are to do. And if we're studying God's Word, if we're praying to Him and changing our lives through the help of His Holy Spirit, through correction and instruction, then how pleasing that is to God that we're being molded and shaped and formed in the kind of our heart and mind, the kind of spirit that then can go with the spirit body that He's going to give us at the resurrection or in the change in a moment and twinkling of an eye. So, verse 18, and may the eyes of your mind. Interesting there. The eyes of your mind. To be able to see these things and understand them and apply them. Mind be enlightened in order that you may comprehend what is the hope of His call. And what is the riches of glory of His inheritance in the saints. In verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the inner working of His mighty power, the Spirit of God working within us, revealing these things, and showing us in these things, and helping us to change this nature into a nature of God the Father and Jesus Christ. Let's go now to Ephesians 2. In verse 10, it says, For we are His, that is God, we are His workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto the good works that God ordained beforehand in order that we might walk in them. So the good works of Christ, what were they? They were constantly, He was obedient to the Father. He obeyed the Father in everything. He said, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. And can He say that about us? As we're striving to overcome and to build His character, to walk in this way of life, His ways, that He can say, is He well pleased with us? Well, certainly hopefully that we're striving to do that, that God said, I am pleased. And I'm going to keep working with you. I'm going to maybe be pruning you a little bit, polishing you here or there, because getting close to a finished product, and that's why trials and tests and things, that's how God molds us and shapes us and prunes us and to the kind of spirit and mind that He wants, a mind that thinks His way, loves His way, loves Him, and loves others, which is totally contrary to the nature that we were given at birth. And thankfully, God gives us the help that we need to build that kind of nature and character. Ephesians 3, verse 16, says that we may grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with the power of His Spirit in the inner man. Yes, God's Spirit working in us. that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, and that by being rooted and grounded in love, you may fully be able to comprehend what with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses human knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all generations, even to the ages of eternity. Amen. So God says we need to be rooted and grounded in him and in love. Love for him and for one another. Philippians. Go there again, Philippians 1, and verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, the work that he started in us upon our conversion and our willingness to change and want to walk in his way and become a way of life. Going on to verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and understanding, in order that you may approve the things that are excellent, so that you may be pure and without offense until the day of Christ, that is his coming, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the praise and glory of God. And it tells about what fruits of righteousness are, you know, and the things that love, mercy, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering, all those things that we have to build through the help of God. So being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the praise and glory of God. Brethren, I want you to know that the things before me have turned out rather into the advancement of the gospel. So a lot of these things we go through is advancement for us in our growth and development, becoming more like God in Jesus Christ. Let's go now to Psalm 91. Verses 8 and 9. It says, only with your eyes you shall behold and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. So we'll see what the end result is of wickedness. Because God will recompense the wicked. They won't get by forever. It seems like they get by, and Malachi talks about, and God says no, that a book of remembrance was written for those who loved him and kept and walked in his ways. Continuing on then, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Prophecy concerning Christ, but certainly applies to us as well. If we want to walk with God in his way, he will hold us up. He will take care of us. So a Christian's life is a way of life, which includes loving God and loving one another. It involves and commands keeping his laws and his commandments, and it's being faithful to the end. It's a way of life. We will live forever in eternity. It's something that's God's character, and that's what we're building. The character of God the Father and Jesus Christ. And all eternity will be doing this. This way of life will be never ending in God's family and kingdom through all the ages without ending. So that's why it's so important that we learn to walk with God that become a way of life in keeping His word, His laws, His commandments, statutes, and judgment, and loving Him and loving one another. So we'll live throughout all eternity. We'll live in truth. We'll live in love, live in joy, and live in obedience. So I'm looking forward to eternal life with God the Father and Jesus Christ and with all the saints that's gone before us, that are current now, and will be after us. So everyone have a good Sabbath and certainly a joy to be with you.